right. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn anywhere, because it's all good. Amen? We're going to look over in Mark chapter number 5 here this morning. Mark chapter 5. And whenever you find your places there, in just a moment I'll have you stand. But first I want you to take a moment and stop by our ministry display table. After services, pick up one of our prayer cards. We covet your prayers, and it's got our picture and contact information on there. And it means a lot to know you got folks in your corner praying for you. And prayer is the hand that touches the heart of God. Oh, yeah, don't think your prayers don't make a difference, because they do. Because the prayers of one man stayed the hand of God from wiping out the children of Israel. Oh, yeah. Prayer makes a difference, and we're just trying to get some people ready for heaven. One of my favorite CDs is our Heaven Bound CD, and you all got a lot of good music around here and on the radio station. And if you listen to the radio, they play some of the songs off this CD, but if you're interested in those, they're back there on the table. I promise you all the proceeds will go to a needy family by the name of the Walkers. And Champ and Dixie are on live on DVD here. They performed this morning for the youth. And I know some of you were bummed out you didn't get to see them, but, you know, we can't be everywhere at once. But anyway, we have their performance live on DVD, and their behaviors illustrate the gospel. I've got a preaching horse. He preaches the gospel. And so if you've never seen a smiling trick horse wearing tennis shoes with a dog on its back preaching the gospel, you're going to have to check it out. Had a friend bought one of these. He had all of his neighbors come over to his house because he said, "You got to see this." 9 of his neighbors came over. He showed it to them, and they got saved. And he said, "Send me some more of those." And I said, "Wow." And, of course, with the plan of salvation is clearly presented. You can get this into the home of a loved one, somebody that maybe you're trying to get into church. Well, they'll watch it because the dog and horse. And then the gospel's presented. And at the end, we draw the net. And it's easy for them to be led to the Lord just from watching this. So anyway, just a little something I wanted to tell you about there on the table. It could be a blessing and a help to somebody. And we thank you once again for your encouragement. Thank you for making us feel so welcome and at home. And what a blessing it's been to be here. Let's stand together, shall we, for the reading of the Word of God. And Mark chapter 5 and verse number 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 25. The Bible says, "A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years." Well, that's a long time to be sick. Some of you all here have experienced health issues, been sick for a while. 12 years. And it says, "And she had suffered many things." Well, she went through a lot. They were using her as a guinea pig. Well, let's try this. Let's try that. And learning at her expense. And it says, "Of many physicians." Boy, don't you get tired of going to the doctors. This doctor and that doctor and this doctor and that doctor and referring you to this. She'd been around. She'd made the gamut. And it says, "And spent all." Well, yeah. Don't take you long. Can you imagine if you didn't have insurance? Some of you might not have insurance. You'd think, wow, how in the world? There's no way. She spent everything that she had, mortgaged her house, sold the chariot, sold the horse, sold all of her goodies, and she was nothing bettered. Well, she was at the bottom. Well, that's discouraging when you're trying all this stuff and you spend everything and not a bit better, but she got worse and worse. Talk about being discouraged. Talk about being down and out. Talk about being without hope. And it says in verse 27, I love this, "When she heard of Jesus." Oh, heard it. Radio, gospel, 90.3. Heard it. When she heard of Jesus. Somebody was talking about him. Who are you talking about? She heard of Jesus and came in the press behind. See, the press is always in the way. all the time, interfering. So you got to dig deep in the scriptures to understand it, but the media was there interfering every time, slanted even back then. And touched his garment. She thought, if I could just touch him. Just touch him. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I should be whole. Boy, she had some faith, didn't she? And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, don't you think he knew? You ever had your parent ask you a question, and they knew the answer, but they just want you to answer it? And so Jesus is giving her a moment to testify, a moment to proclaim. Oh, yeah. And his disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Heavenly Father, we thank you for hope. We thank you for your power. Thank you for being real to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this church. I pray you'd speak to hearts this morning. Holy Spirit of God, as I yield myself to you, I pray you'd use me to be a blessing and a help to these, your people. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the subject matter of giving others hope. Giving others hope. When Britain's legendary leader, Winston Churchill, was asked what his country's greatest weapon had been against the Nazi regime of Hitler during World War II, he didn't hesitate for a moment. He promptly replied, it was what England's greatest weapon has always been, hope. Hope's one of the most energizing, powerful words in the English language. It took England through many a dark times during World War II, and it provides us with the power to keep going during the most difficult of times. I don't want to lose hope. Boy, people get desperate whenever they lose hope. And that power fuels us with excitement and with anticipation to keep moving forward. It's been said that a person can live 40 days without food. Some of you might be able to live longer. Depends on reserve. 40 days. Now, I can't imagine 40 days without food, but 40 days. Even 4 days without water. 4 minutes without air, but only 4 seconds without hope. Hope. See, you can be a rainbow in somebody's cloud by the simple act of giving hope and encouragement and inspiring them. Amen? Hope is fueled by optimism, fueled by the belief that God's got the power to make positive changes in your life. And hear this woman. She'd spent everything she had. She was flat broke, busted, spent it all, mortgaged everything, sold everything. No doubt she's living in the alleys and eating out of the garbage, and she's probably sleeping in the cardboard boxes and dumpsters, and hair was matted and dirty, and she was stooped of shoulder, and eyes no doubt probably dim of sight. Probably walked around with some sort of a makeshift walker or a cane as she shuffled along through life, miserable, no hope, at the bottom of a barrel. But then she heard about Jesus. And then he was passing through that day. And he had a divine appointment that day whenever that she met the Savior. A day that she'll never forget. I hope that when I was preaching to the kids in there, and after Champ acted out the gospel, and he prayed, symbolizing somebody praying to get saved. And then he reared up on his hind feet as victory. Because that's the best thing in the world, is when you got saved. See, that's your story. You telling about what God did for you. That's something you can hold on to. That's something that you can use. And it's the best kept secret, is what God did for you and how God changed you and saved you. And so here this woman, she'd lost all hope. But when she met Jesus, things was different. Now, buddy, don't you know she had a story to tell? Now, don't you know she had a testimony? Man, now she's like, man, look at me. You'd never know. They probably looked at her and didn't recognize her. Like, sir, are you serious? You're that same lady that used to hang it on the, you know, at the intersections with the cardboard signs. Huh? And we would pass by and, yeah, that tight. She was down and out. She really needed some help. But she believed she was almost to the end of her rope. Almost! But she got some hope that day, amen? See, why do people lose hope? They believe a situation cannot be improved. It's impossible. I got a friend quite heavy, and they keep trying to lose weight and lose weight and lose weight. I've lost about 200 pounds. I lose a pound, gain a pound, I lose a pound, I gain a pound, lose a pound. You add that up, but they try to lose the weight, and they give up. Why? Because it's hopeless. I tried everything. She said, I quit all my carbs, quit all my sugars, and I dropped out on the caffeine, and I just eaten protein, and I didn't lose a pound. Did it for a month. Boy, you know what? That'd be discouraging. And you lose hope when you feel like a situation is impossible. Huh? The salvation of a loved one. Well, sometimes some of you live with people that aren't saved, and you think, it's just impossible. There's no hope. They're never going to get saved. Be the last person to never get saved. Boy, don't lose hope. Waiting for your spouse to change. So they get divorced. Why? Why do they get divorced? Because they don't believe there's any hope. There's no hope of change. There's no hope of ever, you know, getting our relationship restored. But see, knowing that change is within reach is what fuels your hopefulness. Oh, yeah. Why do people lose hope? They believe it's impossible. Why do people lose hope? Unattainable expectations. They try to achieve too much. You ever tried to get too much done before you go on that vacation break? And it's like, man, I was trying to get all this done before I went away. And it's like unattainable expectations. Many people lose hope because of that. The dysfunctional family trying to get along at Christmas. You know what that's like? And that brother-in-law that likes to poke everybody's buttons and sit back and watch the fireworks go. And you think, man, I got a relative. They think Christmas is going to be so perfect. And this year it's going to be different. This year everybody's going to be happy. This year everybody's going to be... Yeah, right. I just know it ain't happening. I just know there's going to be some conflict. I just realized, hey, it's the way it is. I want to have attainable expectations. Job 7:6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Job lost hope when tragedy struck. Adam and Eve lost hope when they were kicked out of the garden. Elijah lost hope and ran for his life when Jezebel threatened. David lost hope when his sons were killed. Moses lost hope over the sin of his people. Jeremiah 20, verse number 14. Jeremiah the prophet lost hope when Israel would not listen. Ephesians 2, 12. Without God, there is no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. Those that lose a loved one have no hope of seeing them again if they're not saved. Now, what is it that fuels our hope? Well, answered prayer. Huh? How many of you were praying for the goal for the radio station? Were you praying about that? Answered prayer fuels hope. Listen to this unbelievable story you will not soon forget. The year was 1820. Peter Richley was a grateful man. He had survived one of the strangest, most harrowing events known to mankind. The ship which he had been traveling sank. He was rescued. By some strange twist of circumstance, however, that ship sank. He was rescued again. But the third ship that he was rescued by sank. And he was rescued again. Yet this fourth ship of passage soon sank. And unbelievably as it seems, he was rescued for a fourth time. But the fifth ship sank. Now, it would have been laughable had it not been so serious. On the high seas, however, he floated with the serene confidence that somehow God did not want him to die. And if it ain't your time to die, you ain't dying. God's not like, oh no, they got COVID. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? They're just invading heaven. All these people. No. You ain't going to die of COVID if it ain't your time. Don't be afraid. Huh? There's 365 fear nots in the Bible. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be so afraid. I mean, there's still people that are wearing masks because they're afraid. Fear drives them to, yeah. We're down on the Navajo Indian Reservation last summer when COVID was, a lot of that stuff was being lifted and the mask mandates. Well, on the Navajo Indian Reservation, they were still mandate mask. And we were out visiting in the middle of the desert. And we had a tribal member come up to us with a box of masks saying, you have to wear these. And I'm thinking, we're out here in the middle of nowhere. And there's this little handful of people. And they're like, coming up, give me this. You got to wear these masks. Like, but they were so much full of fear. They were letting it control them. And boy, when you let fear control you, the devil loves it. Amen. Oh, he loves it. And so here he is. He realized God didn't want him to die. And sure enough, as if on cue, another ship came by and answered his call for help. The ocean liner, called the City of Leeds, was named after its British city of origin. It was bound from England to Australia, and it traveled the same sea lanes as Peter Richley's downed ships. So the crew of the City of Leeds hoisted Peter aboard. Dry clothing was given to him. The doctor gave him an exam and pronounced him fit and asked him an unusual favor. He said, there's a lady on board who booked passage to Australia. And the doctor explained, she's been looking for her son who disappeared years ago. She's dying. She's asking to see her son. She knows everybody on board. And since you're the only newcomer, would you mind just pretending to be her son? To give her some little bit of comfort during these last hours? Well, Peter agreed. He said, after all, my life had been saved for the fifth time. And so he followed the doctor below the deck. He entered into a small cabin. On a small bed lay a frail woman with silvered hair. She was obviously suffering from a very high fever. Deliriously, she was crying out, please, God, please, let me see my son before I die. I must see my son. And the ship's doctor gently nudged him forward. And so he approached the bed. Soon, Peter began sobbing. For lying on the bed was the very reason that he couldn't seem to die. For here was laying that lifeline that had kept him from drowning five times. For lying on the bed was none other than Sarah Richley, his mother, who had been praying 10 years to be reconciled to her son. And God had to sink five ships to answer that prayer. But it all came together. Woo, don't you know they had a time? The ship's doctor stood in amazement as the young man fell down by the bed and he embraced his mama and he says, I'm here, Mom. It's me, it's me, it's me. And within a few days, she recovered. The fever had subsided. His mother awakened to find an answered prayer sitting on the edge of her bed. Oh, I tell you what, answers to prayer will fuel that hope. Oh, it'll strengthen your faith. Man, don't ever give up praying. What is it that gives us hope? Admitting failures. Knowing that others have failed and got back up inspires hope. Not everything in life comes easy. Landmark is an example of that. It's not just been a bed of ease. Brother Carter's not been tiptoeing through the tulips. Been a fight. Been worked. Huh? Man. Admitting failures, though, obstacles can be overcome. For instance, Mike Lindell, owner and founder of MyPillow. You ever heard of MyPillow? Oh, yeah. He was addicted to cocaine and alcohol in the 80s and 90s. He lost his home, his business, his wife filed for divorce. But he got saved in 2009, and he built a successful business. He picked himself up, shook it off. What? He kept going. He had failed. He made some bad choices. See, knowing that people have failed Seeing people that are a success, knowing their history, they failed. I remember Brother House telling a story whenever he was still in Texas before he took First Baptist Hammond. Brother House said he had deacon trouble, and the deacons were trying to run the church. And, of course, if you know Brother House, you know that ain't going to happen. Okay? And so he decided that he would address the problem in a unique way. And so that Sunday morning, he had the Lord's Supper table full of grocery bags. Seven grocery bags full of groceries for seven deacons. Sunday morning, he had the deacons come forward and proceed to announce to everybody what the duties of the deacon was. Not to run the church, not to run him, but to be a right arm, a help, feed the hungry, take care of the widows. He said, now you men, get your bag of groceries and go pass them out, because that's your job. It's not to run me. Well, you can hear a pin drop, as you can only imagine. Now, Brother House told that story, and of course, we liked it. As preacher boys, we thought, yeah, you know. But he said, that really wasn't a good idea. He said, I could have handled that differently, and I wish I would have. And I made a mistake, and he talked about that. You know, people are encouraged whenever we could admit mistakes and say, boy, I did this, but I recovered. I did this, but I messed up. I made mistakes, because none of us are perfect. And you ought to be able to talk about your past. Huh? Paul put his past behind him. He buried it. But watch this. I also believe that he used it as a tool to get people saved. Huh? He could talk about it. Because otherwise, he would have let it shut him down. He would have let that stifle him. See, admitting mistakes and moving on inspires hope. Showing appreciation, the senior pastor praised the youth pastor in front of the congregation about his summer program. And the young pastor was just beaming from ear to ear. See, showing appreciation gives other people hope. They need to know they can please you. They need to know they can make you happy. They need to know I've done something right. I've been a blessing. Having that positive attitude. I'm excited about it. I was over at a church here, and back when COVID was going on, and they had a brand new building in the middle of COVID. And they had a sign up there in the front, and they had the picture of the new building, and had the thermometer there, and all the money, and it was in the middle of COVID. And he's like, man, I'm so excited. You couldn't be around him but just for a few moments. And he was just all thrilled about what God was going to do and what was going on. And it was catching. Huh? It spread to his people. Amen? And I can't wait for this. I'm looking forward to this. See, you give people hope with your positive attitude. You give people hope with support. Offering to help. I remember when Dixie Dog, my little puppy, we were down in Phoenix, Arizona, when we were preaching there. And in the heart of the city, they had a high wall around the church with woven wire. Armed guards and a tower and machine gun. No, but it was in a bad part of town. Somebody had gotten murdered right across the street from the church 3 months before we got there. It was a bad place. They needed a church. So while we were there, my dog got stole. Little Dixie Dog. A lady stopped in the middle of the street, jumped out, ran over, and snatched her up there from the front of the church and drove off with her. We didn't know it. And long story short, 2 weeks later, with the help of, we were on the news, NBC, ABC, Fox News, they called me up. When's the last time you lost a pet and Fox News calls you up and says, hey, we'd like to come by and interview you? And I mean, they did. We were on the news. And man, the country was praying for this dog to be found. We had no idea what had happened. We had no idea that she was even picked up. We didn't know what took place. Later, we found out that she stopped by and snatched the dog up. And later, we finally found out where that dog was. And I had a friend, or one of my relatives, calls me up and says, Kevin, I was just there in Phoenix doing a press release with the media for a sporting event that he was involved in. He said, I got connections with those guys. And because we were just like, what are we going to do? How are we going to find this dog? I spent so much time training this dog to do about 30 of these tricks. And you know, she climbs a ladder and goes down a slide and jumps through hoops and sneezes and prays and all this stuff. And she rides my horse and I'm at, and she's a perfect little dog and she's not a yapper and the boys and girls love her and she loves her. I says, to find a replacement is going to be impossible. God, please help us find her. And whenever my cousin called me up and said, my nephew, he called me up and says, hey, Kevin, the news reporters are calling you. He made that happen. Because of his connections and his influence, he makes it happen. Then all these news reporters calling us and setting up, it gave me hope. What a blessing to know you had people in your corner that had resources that helped you and encouraged you and helped get the word out and made it known. Man, that was hope. Oh, thank God for people that will come running to your side and says, I'm here for you. I'm with you. You're not going through this alone. Encouraging words. Nothing gives a dose of hope like encouraging words delivered from the heart. Oh, salvation brings hope. Romans 8:24. The scriptures give us hope. Romans 15:4. The Holy Spirit gives us hope. Romans 15:13. Others are counting on us to have hope. 2 Corinthians 10:15. Christ is the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. The grace of God gives us hope. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Hope is the anchor of the soul. Hebrews 6:19. Happy is the man whose hope is in the Lord. Psalms 146:5. The resurrection of Jesus gives us hope. 1 Peter 1:3. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Abraham had hope that was fueled by faith. Gideon had the hope of victory against an insurmountable enemy. Daniel had hope when he was thrown in the lion's den with all odds against him. Hannah hoped in God and had a son. Now, David hoped in God and defeated Goliath. Nehemiah had hope and finished the wall. Oh yeah, hope. Hope, we got to have it. You can't survive without it. Remember sometime in your life when somebody did something or gave you something that gave you hope? You remember how that felt? How it energized you? Man, there's no reason we can't be a messenger of hope to dozens of times a day with a kind word, an encouragement, a compliment, creating an opening of possibility. It doesn't matter what role you're playing, co-worker, parent, friend, teacher, supervisor, team member, son, daughter, brother, sister, neighbor, you always have an opportunity to give hope. Amen. The bringer of hope of those in your life. See, that's what 90.3 is all about. Amen. Giving hope. There's people out there that are hurting and they need hope. People out there are headed for hell and they need hope. Listen to this unbelievable story in closing. There are two men in the hospital. Both of them had congenital heart failure. There was in the room together, one of the two men would sit up once a day, and with assistance, he would clear his lungs. And he would look out the window, and he would tell his friend, who was in the bed against the wall, what he saw as he looked out the window. He said, I see leaves changing today. And every day, he'd anticipate, what's going on out there? What do you see out the window? He said, oh, you ought to see the children laughing and playing and having fun. He painted an unbelievable picture in detail by taking his time every time he looked out the window. He said, hey, what do you see today? He said, I see a parade today. Oh, my goodness. Well, after some time, that man that sat up to clear his lungs and look out the window passed away. Now, the other man against the wall was in the room by himself. And the nurse came in. And he asked her, says, ma'am, would you mind looking out the window and tell me what you see? I sure do miss finding out what's going on. And so she went over, she looked out the window, and she said, I don't see anything. In fact, your window looks right out to a brick wall. She said, I just see brick. He said, what? He said, how can that be? Every day my roommate got up and talked to me about parades and kids playing. And she said, your roommate was blind. He couldn't see a thing. He said, why would he tell me all those stories of what he saw? And she said, I guess he thought he was your eyes and he would give you a vision, a picture of hope. Oh, yeah. God help us to inspire hope and to give hope and to be a deliverer. Hope of making a difference. Hope of having a happy marriage. Hope of raising children that can get along. Hope of healing. Hope of freedom. Hope of people having the courage to stand up for what's right. Well, that's one thing I love about Polk County. Amen. People have got some guts. Boy, Mickey Carter, Landmark Baptist Church, Pastor Parsons, Sheriff Grady Judd, we just keep going on. Man, got some people that's got guts, willing to stand. That inspires hope. No wonder you got 80,000 people moved into Polk County last year. Yeah, it's your fault. Huh? Hope. Man, let's inspire somebody and give them a picture of the future and why we believe in them and not live in disappointments. I think everybody needs a good old-fashioned dose of hope. Yeah. Someday, they'll thank you for inspiring some hope. Most of all, hope of eternal life in heaven. We was preaching in Pennsylvania. And while we was there, had a revival, small church, probably fit in this choir loft. One night, boy, the great response, many came forward to get saved. A teenage girl came forward and was kneeling, being dealt by an altar worker. Her kid sister, about 8-9 year old, came in and knelt behind her to get saved. But nobody dealt with her. She slipped through their fingers. You know, sometimes that happens. A lot of stuff's going on, and boy, I hate that, but she slipped through our fingers. We didn't realize she wanted to get saved, and nobody dealt with her. She was overlooked. She went back to her seat. On the way home, her teenage sister was bragging and rejoicing about she's on her way to heaven. And her little sister says, I want to go to heaven. And her big sister, you know, being very kind, as so many big brothers and sisters are. Well, you ain't going to heaven. You didn't get saved. You die, you're going to hell. You know how kids can be mean. They'll just say what it is. Well, that tore her up. She couldn't sleep. She came back the next night, and whenever we got finished singing, my family would take the kids and have a kid service. And that night, that's what happened. And the kids went back there, and Loretta was going to talk to them a little bit about fear. And she says, what's something you afraid of? Little Erica raised her hand. She said, I'm afraid that I ain't going to find out how I can get to heaven before I die. Tears in her eyes. Quiver in her voice, Loretta stopped. Said, we can take care of that right now. Oh, little Erica came forward and she prayed and got saved. Hey, boy, that girl needed some hope. And she came to the right place and she didn't have to worry about dying and going to hell no more. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, there's all kind of folks out there that just need some hope. Hope of heaven. Praise the Lord that somebody gave you some hope. And so may the Lord use us to be an inspirer of hope. And may God use 90.3 in this next year to inspire hope. And may God use Landmark Baptist Church. And you might be here today saying, you know, I've lost some hope. If you'd like to know for sure you're on your way to heaven, in just a moment we'll stand. Just a moment the pianist will come, and we'd love to take the Bible and talk to you about how you could know you go to heaven and give you the hope of eternal life. Oh, yeah. Maybe you're going through a difficult day. You're going through a troubled time. Got a hardship. You got something nobody knows about. You need some hope. You need somebody to pray with you. You need somebody to encourage you. Oh, there'll be somebody to meet you, to greet you, to pray with you, to help you. What's your need today? Oh, I hope that you'll find the hope in Jesus Christ that he wants to give you. Let's all stand together as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, bless now as we take a moment, a time of invitation, a time to do business with you. I pray that, Holy Spirit of God, you'd work in hearts. If there's anybody here today and they've lost hope, I pray that they'd be rekindled today. I pray, dear Lord, if there's somebody here that they do not have hope of eternal life, and they'd like to know that they'd go to heaven, I pray that, Lord, they would step out and they would come. As the piano is playing, these have come and are coming and moving right now. Pastor Parsons is down front. If you'd like to know for sure that you're going to heaven, have the hope of eternal life, you slip out and come. Maybe you're in a situation that's desperate. Maybe you've lost your hope. Maybe you need an answer to prayer. You come. you come. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're thinking about throwing in the towel. You come. You're looking for a good old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church that gives hope, that cares about people, then you come. Come down here and talk to Brother Parsons. Talk to one of these workers about joining up and being part of the family here. If you've been saved and you've not yet been baptized scripturally in deep water, I hope that you'll come. Show Jesus that you love him. The first step of obedience after salvation is baptism. And when you love Jesus, it'll move you to want to show him that you love him. And I hope that if you've never taken care of that, that you'll come. So whatever your need is today, you obey the Lord. You got a friend next to you and you don't know if they're saved, right now nudge them. Say, hey, do you have the hope of heaven? Do you know you're going to be there? I'd like to see you there. I want you to be there with me. You come. Obey the Lord. Pastor Parsons is going to come. He'll take over the invitation right now, but you obey God.
We're going to let Brother Burt sing one, but if you're here and you're not saved, why don't you step out and come? We would love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? And I know many of already come and done business with God. Maybe you came because you needed some hope and you prayed and you met God at the altar this morning. Maybe you're here and you've received hope this week. You've accepted Christ as your Savior and you know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. But why don't you come and present yourself before the church and tell the church, boy, I got saved. And you know what would even be better if you decided to join this local church through baptism? And you can do that this morning. Everything is prepared. Everything's ready. You just have to step out and be willing to take the first step of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you know, maybe you've been baptized, but you know you need to join this good local church, you know what? We'd welcome you in. We'd love to have you as a part of our family. And listen, I know that without a doubt in a crowd like this, somebody, just like my dad did years ago, is holding back from stepping out and accepting Christ. This invitation is to you. We're inviting you to step out and let us take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Please, you do what God is calling and asking you to do. You know inside your heart. Right now, as Brother Burt sings,
just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. Thank you, sir. We're going to let you be seated. We have several